Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Dave Tippett, the head coach of the Oilers, in about 25 minutes. Looking forward to that. That'll be a fun conversation, catching up with Dave and see what his reaction was when McDavid hit 100 points and then what he did last night. You know, just continues to put on a clinic. Totally
he tried
losing.
To give that
breakaways, looking behind him.
He tried to give that
him.
Away. Like, I don't think, and this is with all due respect to Connor, like, I don't think him and 29 even broke a sweat that much last night. Like they
Why
were,
would they? Who cares?
But on the breakaway, you could tell he was trying to find Nurse, who was in the other zone. Like, he was like, all right, I'll just go in here and score. Like, it was...
He was like, yeah, fine, I'll do it myself.
I got that sense. I don't know if you guys got that.
Yeah,
like,
no, I
was
I
watching
totally
him, like...
Yeah.
He was looking back in the middle of a breakaway saying, what am I going to do? And then he's like, screw it, I'm just going to score on the game.
Just put this to bed here.
I feel like once he hit 100, he's almost, like, he's a humble guy. I think he's almost embarrassed by the attention. And last tip about that,
though. Embarrassed, Tatar. What do you think Tatar's thing? Like, that's just gross what he does to people. Right. Like, you get out of position defensively, that little spin-back move he did on the boards, just goodbye, goodbye.
There is not a mismatch. There is not a player in the league that wouldn't be dealing with a mismatch. I think I said that yesterday. Like, Victor Hedman one-on-one would be like, I could be in trouble here.
Yeah.
This one might be a bit of an issue. And let alone you put a forward in a position where he's just not thinking right or doesn't have the right angle. He's got no shot, absolutely no shot of stopping that guy. All right, before we get to confirm or deny, what I'm thinking is here, we could do one of two things. We can go through a list, or I can rattle off names, and we can make it simple. Would you take Jack Eichel or the name that I announce?
Rattle them off.
Rapid
go.
Fire. Okay?
Rattle them off.
Because we've been talking about it throughout the afternoon, the value of Eichel and trying to put it into perspective in terms of who he is, what he is, who he compares to.
Now, let me just let me ask one quick question. Are you talking right today or for the rest of their career? Like the trade head-to-head.
Just right today, right today.
Yeah, let's simplify. You're right, Noodles. I understand what you're saying because, like, Crosby's going to come up and, you know, Sid might not be a great example. He's still
No, I'm saying like a guy like John Tavares makes 11. He's 30 years old. Eichel's 30,
no contract. 24. There's no contract involved.
No contract. Game tonight. Who you taking? That will simplify it. That makes it a little bit easier because you're right. When you start thinking long-term and contract and cap – It's something you have to consider if you're a GM, but we're just doing this for the sake of trying to define him as a player. Okay?
Sure.
So let's start with some obvious ones. These will be quick. Right. Jack Eichel or Connor McDavid?
Come on, dude.
Get through the first, like, five.
All right, McDavid, Draisaitl, Matthews, McKinnon, like, they're gone.
Right?
Gone.
They're gone. Okay, now let's get to John Tavares. Tavares or Eichel tonight?
Well, Tavares, because he's healthy, but
We're assuming all good.
Tavares.
Yeah, that's a coin flip for me.
Like, yeah, I think I'd actually go Eichel. I'd go Eichel.
Eichel's a better skater, although Tavares is better defensively. Like, I love John, but that's why I was trying to factor. Like, my question is, do you trade these guys one for one? Would you trade Eichel for Tavares?
I'll give you a coin flip.
Yeah, I think it's close. What about Mark Scheifele or Jack Eichel?
Mark Scheifele.
I'd go Scheifele. Elias Pettersson or Eichel?
Elias Pettersson.
I'd go Eichel. Yeah, I'd go Eichel for the size alone, but I think Pettersson's in a similar spot, like where he's had injury problems, we're waiting for him to get going, not on a great
team.
Remember,
we're not caring about that.
I understand
that. We're just talking about a game tonight.
But it's all – we have biases when it comes to Eichel, you know, like that's just a fact. Zibanejad or Eichel?
Zibanejad.
Eichel.
I'd go with Eichel.
Yeah.
Tyler Seguin or Eichel?
Ooh. That one
I can't even answer that one because we haven't even seen Sagan all year.
We're assuming health and he's still in his late 20s.
Sagan.
I'm saying Eichel. I think Eichel.
I'd go Sagan. Because Sagan, to me, Eichel is at best Sagan. Like, that's what he is when he's rocking. You know, and that's not a slight on either guy. But Sagan's a 40-goal scorer, really good player when healthy and playing well. I think that's kind of where Eichel could be. Braden Point. Or Jack Eichel.
Point should have been way higher up the list, by the way.
Okay, Barkov. We're all taking Barkov.
Barkov.
Bergeron.
Bergeron.
Bergeron's still better than him, I think.
Yes.
Tonight. Yes. Aho. Sebastian Aho.
Aho.
Eichel.
I'd take Eichel.
Yeah.
Because you don't like the Canes. Go ahead.
Yes, we hate the Canes and the players who played for them, too.
Yeah.
No, that's not the case. We love the Canes and we love Jeff O'Neill.
Keep going.
Nicholas Backstrom or Eichel.
I'd say Eichel.
I'd go Eichel now. 5 years ago, I mean, Backstrom at one point was a 90-point guy, stud. He's still a great player, 100-point guy. You're right. But he's not what he was, I don't think. Kuznetsov is another guy I think has taken a bit of a step back.
Coin flip.
I'd take Eichel. Sid, I mean, I think we're all still taking Sid, right? Yeah, of course. Gino? Yeah. Gino or Eichel tonight?
Gino's
that's the one where because I was asking that. He's 34. I'd take Eichel. I just think that the Eichel's better skater. The game's about skating now. Like, that's where I found, like, the older guys.
Mm-hmm.
I would lean towards the younger legs and the shooter.
So. Yeah, I think I'd still go Gino, but I hear what you're saying. Barzell or Eichel?
Barzell.
That was close for me.
It's a dicey one. I'd go Eichel.
I think Eichel's more of a shooter. Like Barzell's so talented, though, but it's close. Like, that's a coin flip for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, I'm trying to find other teams.
O'Reilly?
O'Reilly is one that's sneaky because I love his complete game.
I do, too.
But in terms of talent and a game-breaking ability,
O'Reilly.
I'd go Eichel, I think.
Yeah, I'm Eichel.
But if we're doing that, like, what about Couturier at full health?
Yeah,
Couturier
Eichel.
Or Eichel?
Eichel.
I'd go Eichel, too. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so, and I, you know,
pretty
listen,
close,
that's
though.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I mean, but we did run off a lot of names before we even started the conversation, like McDavid, Drysdale, Matthews, McKinnon, Point, Barkov. Like, that's, what is that, six, seven, right off the bat? Shifley, we all had Shifley ahead of him. So you got
so
six, seven, eight
then.
Centermen.
He's
before.
Top 15, maybe?
Yeah.
Depending on the debate, like, you know, Aho or Eichel, they're both great players. But he's probably top 15 in the league.
I think so. In terms of centermen, for sure he is.
Right.
You know, for sure. And you know what's wild is you look at the West Division. Outside of McKinnon, I think he'd be the second best center in the division.
Well,
because, you know, Anaheim, San Jose, L.A., Arizona – St. Louis, if you might take O'Reilly. Yeah, Kopitar, I don't think he is anymore, though. I love him.
Come
but...
on, dude. He just got 1,000 points the other night. Kopitar.
So what? So Thornton just had how many assists? Patrick Marleau played a lot of games.
I'm just saying, like, you're right about the West compared to the East. It seems like there's – I mean, the West technically in the –
That's where I
David
think he's
and
going.
Dreisaitl,
that's where I think, like, he's going. I wouldn't be shocked if – although San Jose, I don't know how they could make it work. They've been looking for that centerman up the middle of the ice. I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up there.
If this was just the Northern Division and it was going to go on forever, if you were Calgary, wouldn't you look at him?
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Be like, because take a look at who you have to face every night. Pettersson, Horvat, McDavid, Drysdale, Matthews, Tavares, Shifley, Dubois. And, you know, Ottawa's coming. Like, I think eventually Stutzla's going to be in the middle. Norris, like, they, you know, they've got some players coming, too.
So I'd be all over it if I was in Calgary.
What
right.
Chicago
absolutely.
Says, what about Doc and Patrick Kane for Jack Eichel?
Is Kane going to wave to go to Buffalo? I know it's his hometown. But
Kane's, like, if you're in the rebuild, like, you're not going to bring in somebody right at the end. Like,
he's still got some game. I think Kane's got another three or 4 years. But and Kirby Doc is a, you know, pretty good prospect.
Yeah,
it's in, that's
yeah,
an
you're
interesting
right.
one.
Say, yeah, you know what? You make a great point, oh.
It's I just
one.
Chicago's like Chicago, L.A. They're all in kind of the same spot. It's like they've got these older guys who are on big tickets. Even San Jose would be included, and then they're just kind of lost in the shuffle. They're not that good, top to bottom. Anyway, let's fire up some confirm or deny.
Yes.
I can neither confirm or deny that this is in fact a segment.
Boston trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
And Confirm and Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy F-Sport credits of up to $3,000 and a loyalty rate reduction of up to 2%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. We know the way this works. We play it every week. A statement is made. We go around the table. Do we confirm it will happen or deny that it won't happen, I guess? Confirm or deny, assuming health, all right? This guy's healthy. He plays 82 games every year for the next 3 years. This year not included. Connor McDavid will be nominated for the Hart Trophy in each of the next three seasons.
I'm confirming it. Nominated. Top three,
nominated.
Right?
Yep, top three.
Come on, dude. Make us think a little bit. That's automatic. Automatic.
I am going to deny it. I am going to deny it because history would suggest they missed the playoffs. He's not nominated. Like, that's the way the thing works. That's the way it works. Like, is Edmonton guaranteed to make the playoffs the next 3 years? I can't say
they're
guaranteed.
They got McDavid and Draisaitl, and they got about 20-something million coming off the cap.
Close to $30 million to spend. And
they
got to
make sure you spend
players.
It appropriately. They could. I don't think it's a lock. I don't think it's a guarantee. And, you know, he's a rock star. I think it's a good chance. But history would tell – I'm curious how many guys have been nominated 4 years in a row because he's winning it this year. Right?
Yeah.
So if he wins it this year, then we're talking the next three gets nominated. How many players in history? I'm sure Gretzky did it.
Yeah, I'm sure Gretzky and Lemieux.
I don't know. Did Lemieux do it 3 years in a row? I don't know if he did.
Had to.
If he was healthy and played at least half the games, because even half the games he had 120 points.
That's true. Like he won it that 1 year where he played
He
like
was nominated
games.
1 year and he came back at Christmas time.
I think he won it.
Ian Noodles were in the league.
That was 93, I believe.
No, we're talking about the later one where he decided to come out of retirement. He started at Christmas, December 27th. He was nominated for the Hart.
Yeah, not bad for Mario.
Yeah, I would, assuming health, and that's the big thing, I would say yes.
Okay.
I'm confirming it.
Confirm or deny, one of Carey Price or Frederik Andersen will not make a start in the opening round of the playoffs. One of them will not make a start.
Confirm. I confirm. I don't know which one it is, but confirm. I would probably lean right now towards Andersen, but that is completely a confirm.
I mean, basically what we're suggesting is Price would not return. Like, that's a possibility. So,
or Campbell runs with it.
Or Campbell runs with it.
I'm going to deny it because I think Price will play, and I think that there will be a point where Andersen plays a game, starts a game.
Yeah. I'm going to confirm it because I do think Price will be back. There's no reason. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't have access to that. But he's got some time. I think at some point during the series.
Well, he's skating full practice yesterday and today. Like, it sounds like he's on.
He's getting
the
close.
Road to play.
He's getting close, and they're going
to
have over a week. I think he'll play. So I think that's pushed aside. But I think if the Leafs play the Habs, I think the Leafs are going to win that. I'm not sure it's going to go that deep to the point where Campbell needs to come out, you know, unless we're talking injuries. But that's a tough one, but I will confirm it. Confirm or deny, Bob Baffert, a.k.a. Bob Palmero, will be banned for life from running horses at the Kentucky Derby.
I'm going to confirm that. I think Bobby's going down a rabbit hole right now, like Roger Clemens, and he's done. Bobby Palmero is done.
Yeah. Churchill Downs has already, you know, banned him. I don't know if it's a lifetime ban, but he's pretty money for them, though. You know, I could see him being unlikable, though. I'm sure they hate him there for whatever reason. But lifetime ban? What do you think, Nils?
No, I'm denying it because I think what he did is his PR team and everyone else got a hold of him and said, go and disarm them with the truth. Actually, I did make a mistake. There was a test here. Okay, you're going to be banned or suspended for a year, or you're going to be fined. Like, he'll find his way back. He's too big for business. Like, he's, whether you like him or not, they like having that name. He's, again, I know nothing about horse racing.
But he's always around. You know Bob Baffert.
Gotta get Eddie O tomorrow.
Yeah,
you're right.
I'm with you. I'm denying it too. I think he'll be there next year. Three-piece suit, shades, salad. Like he'll have a horse right in the mix. It might be a tainted horse. I don't think he's going to learn from this at all, man. If you're in the horse racing game your whole life, like Bob Baffert has been, you've seen every trick of the trade. You've dealt with every commission.
He's Patrick Reed.
Yeah, he'll figure it. He's Patrick Reed. He's seen it all. He's done it all. He knows it all. He'll figure it out. Confirm or deny, Alek Manoah, who is a stud in the Blue Jay system right now, should be fast-tracked to the majors and in the Blue Jays rotation.
Confirm. Why not? Give it a shot. See what he's got. Your other guy came up and he Greg Norman did, so bring someone else up.
I'm denying it. We just talked about it at the start of the show.
Right.
You're force-feeding the guy in there going, oh, you're good, you're good. Okay, go in. Like, if his progression is not where they want him to be, where you're like, oh, are you good to go? Come on up. I think what you're doing is maybe placing him in a bad situation, and you can
but sometimes
set his
noodle,
development
somebody
back.
Needs a gold dust sniff.
I agree.
See.
I agree. And, you know, he's 23. It's not like he's 19.
Right.
But
right.
I think it's naturally that you've got to bring up pitchers. You've got to bring them along and make sure they're comfortable before they get fed to the wolves here.
Yeah. The operative word is, or two words, is fast tracked. That's why I will deny it. I think he should be appropriately tracked. And if that means he should come up in a week or 2 weeks, like this guy, to your point, he's 23, he was drafted a couple of years ago. He's been in the system. He's a big boy. He's got fire. He had a great spring. And he's already in AAA. It's not like this guy's in low A and you're calling him up out of nowhere and he's bypassing the whole system. Like, they put him there for a reason because they thought he was close. Appropriately tracked. Fast tracked, that's proving you're desperate. I think this whole back and forth with Pearson is even more proof of that. I mean, they call him up. Clearly he wasn't ready. Clearly he was uncomfortable. They give him one start. It was a blow up. It was brutal. And they send him back down.
Right.
You know, they're in a position of desperation because we all knew it was coming. The rotation isn't good enough. But
right.
Appropriately tracked. Fast tracked, you can't do that with a guy who you think is going to be a stud for you. You know, like this isn't about the next 50 games. It's hopefully about the next, you know, 5-10 years and him being
right.
A big part of your rotation. Confirm or deny, the Bruins-Capitals series that begins on Saturday night will turn into an absolute war and be the most physical series of the first round.
That is an absolute confirm. The Bruins like to get involved with that. I think Washington with Chara there and Tom Wilson and the incident with Carlo. And I just think this is going to be must-watch TV this series.
I'm denying it. Did anybody pay attention to what the hell went on in Tampa the other day in Florida?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even talk about it. Like, if Tom Wilson doesn't play for either one of those teams, there was suspensions and fines, and it was an absolute gong show. It was feathers. I don't even know if it got any coverage.
No, it didn't. It didn't get any coverage because it's two Florida teams, and no one up here cares.
It was crazy. Like, it was a bloodbath. There was spearing, and Maroon, you know, he got in trouble. He got suspended because he circled back and pushed a linesman out of the way. Like, that was... If Tom Wilson was doing that type of stuff,
right?
Out of the league.
Of course.
And, you know,
yeah,
there would have been, you know, the people yelling and screaming, kick him out of the league. But that, I think that series has a potential for explosiveness.
I think you're right. I'm going to deny it based on the field and based on the history of playoff hockey. I definitely think it should be the favorite, even with everything you just said. You're talking
right.
about some mammoth human beings on both teams, both really good teams, both like seasoned veteran teams, guys on both sides like Marchand and Wilson are in the series, you know,
right.
Like they're both going to be up to trouble. I cannot wait for that series, and I think it's got all the potential in the world. But you're talking about the field here, seven other series where all hell could break loose,
right?
You know, like Vegas, Minnesota, if it comes to that, or who knows what it's going to be. But anything is a possibility in terms of just craziness, and it's going to be fun, and it's definitely going to pick up the intensity. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Final one here, confirm or deny. If the Lakers play the Warriors in the play-in round, and as of now, that is going to happen, 7th seed Lakers, 8th seed Warriors, it'll be the highest-rated game of the first two rounds of the playoffs.
Not even a question, dude. You're talking about LeBron, Steph Curry. Whatever LeBron does, dude, you know he's the most watched thing. And then you throw Steph Curry into the mix, that's a slam dunk. I'm shocked that you came up with that.
I'm confirming that. I agree. Not as shocked, but I just think I agree. Everything you just laid out, I think there's going to be a lot of eyes on that.
What if in the second round it's a Game 7 featuring the Lakers? Lakers-Clippers in the second round, Game 7. You're telling me that couldn't be bigger?
Doesn't matter, because you're throwing Steph Curry into the equation too.
And, I mean, two massive markets, San Francisco, the Lakers.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Kawhi and Paul George, as good as they are, they don't have that sex appeal that Steph Curry does.
No, they don't. They don't.
That's right.
And
so
it's
that's
new.
Why it's a slam dunk confirmed.
I guess so, confirmer. You've talked me into it, but I actually was leaning deny earlier this afternoon because I don't know if people are going to react to the play-in. We've never really seen it. Yeah. You know, I know where they did it to an extent with the bubble last year, but this is totally fresh. People are really going to understand it? Like, it's kind of a complicated system, and I don't know. Yeah. But if it's Lakers, Warriors, I mean, that's a dream come true for the NBA. And I don't know what network has it, ESPN, TNT, someone's got it. They're going to make a lot of money.
And regardless of the situation the Lakers are in, just don't be shocked if LeBron marches all the way to the finals again. Just
of course. No one's going to be shocked by that.
You want to know the most disrespected team in the NBA? Take your guess, Hayes.
Are you going to say the Lakers?
No. As far as, like, talking about winning and great chances, do the Utah Jazz, have you ever seen their record, man?
They've lapped the field in the West.
And no one says a word about them.
No.
Casual fans like me will say, yeah, LeBron's going to go to the finals. You don't even talk about Utah.
It's all about history.
And they have the best record in the league, I think.
They do. They've been dominant really from the start. I mean,
yes.
Phoenix is kind of with them, but they're the best record in the league. And Rudy Gobert is so underrated. Donovan Mitchell.
No one talks about it, dude. No one.
No one talks about it. It's the market, right, in their history. Confirm or deny brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy F-Sport credits of up to $3,000 and a loyalty rate reduction of up to 2%. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. Head out to Edmonton, catch up with the head coach of the Oilers, Dave Tippett, on what's gone so well for their team this year, how they're prepping for the playoffs, coaching McDavid and Draisaitl, all that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Dave Tippett will join us here in just a moment, the head coach of the Oilers. And I didn't see a shot of him on the bench after McDavid hit 100 points. I'm assuming he had a positive reaction. Why wouldn't you have a positive reaction? But coaches are always a bit of a different breed. He's not going to start fist pumping.
I don't think, I was going to say, I don't think Tip fist pumps too much.
He's a pretty laid back guy. I bet you Jimmy Playfair fist pumped because he's an emotional guy, but I think Tip's pretty, you know, laid back and reserved. That
like
would be
the end
my...
of, what was it, the Breakfast Club, when the guys are walking through the field and you think Playfair threw that fist pump up in the air when McDavid hit 100?
Yeah.
I hope so. I mean, I think that'd be great because it was cool. I mean, we're watching history. Cool. McDavid is putting on a clinic night in, night out. The Oilers are off to the playoffs again, and we catch up now with the head coach of the Oilers. Here's Dave Tippett. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. Do you remember what your reaction was when McDavid hit 100 points? Are you allowed to fist pump that, celebrate that?
What
was your reaction?
I was smiling and laughing and doing everything and giggling to myself. You guys couldn't tell because I had a mask on.
Right, exactly. That's a good point. Yeah, that's got to be a different experience for you.
Jamie's right. Jimmy was over there fist pumping and jumping around, and I was smiling and laughing. No, the guys were happy for him. It kind of built up during the game. You know, it was he gets the first one, the first shift of the game, and then gets another one, and then we get a power play, and then we get a 5-on-3. So guys are going like, okay, here we go, and so it turned out just the right way. But the players were really happy for him. Everybody's happy for him.
I think all eyes in the NHL were on that game. And you know, was there a point, like you say, it was a build-up, but was there a point where you were like, he's getting it tonight, maybe after the second point, or just how he was skating, and he seemed to want the puck every time he was out there?
Yeah, well, that's a good sign that he's going to have a good game for sure. But it was funny, our guys on the bench, because he had three, and then we get the 5-on-3, and they're all, you could tell, it kind of perked up. Okay, here we go. And then it was... Every time, I mean, I think we had three or four touches on the 5-on-3, and everything ran through McDavid, and it went to Draisaitl, and Draisaitl kept shooting until it went in. So it was, you know, a 5-on-3. You could tell that the guys were thinking that something good was going to happen.
Tip, if you were skating around the ice and just kind of casually talking to the players before the season started, and you went up to McDavid, and he told you that he was wanting to get 100 points, or he's going to get 100 points, what would your thoughts have been?
Well, that'd have been great if you can guarantee us a playoff. Funny though, you know, early on he was racking up some points early on. I think it was like 6 weeks in or something like that, And at a press conference, somebody asked me, do you think McDavid could ever get 100 points? And I said, well, I don't think so. I think things are going to really tighten up. And he was like racking them up like crazy. I think things are really going to tighten up down the stretch, and teams are, you know, you're playing the same team over and over again, and he gets checked so hard, and other teams plan against him. And I said, I just think it would be hard. And then he rips off, it was a 30 points in the last month, so. What do I know about guys like that?
No kidding, man. He is truly he's a spectacle every single night. He puts on a show every night, and his line mate, his teammate Leon Draisaitl's right there with him. I mean, this is back to back years where he's just been so impactful himself. And I remember, you know, back, I believe it was opening night, you had them on separate lines, and that's kind of gone back and forth throughout the year. Have you determined what is the best option for you come playoff time to have that playoff success? Is it some sort of a hybrid? I mean, I'm sure that's what a lot of people are wondering, is how you work this out with McDavid and Draisaitl in terms of putting forth your best options to win big hockey games.
You know what? We've used it kind of as a weapon, and there's different times depending on how much you're playing and matchups and who you're playing against that we think it's good, and that it's always an option in a game to go back. And the way our lineup is set up, it's an easy switch with Nugent Hopkins on the wing, and he can jump the center, and Draisaitl can go to the wing. So we've used it. It's a very situational thing. Like, there's times when I'll try to grab some momentum in a game, and you put them together, or there's times when I need both of them to be solid as their own line to, you know, as the rhythm of the game goes. So it's kind of a fluid thing that you just have a feel each game, and then sometimes how the game is going dictates whether they play together or not.
Tip, you have a long history with Mike Smith, and you know, I'll be completely honest, like, you know, coming in to this season, you sign him, or the organization signs him on a one-year deal again. You know, he's turning 39 years old, didn't statistically have the greatest season last year, but, I mean, he's been nothing short of brilliant. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit that I was wrong coming into the season saying, like, I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to get back to that level. What have you seen from Mike, just consistency-wise, and what he's been able to bring to the table, or if he's changed anything? Because at 39, he's been one of the best goaltenders in the league.
Well, first and foremost, he was very motivated coming in. You know, he started out last year, was okay, had a bit of a dip in December, and then had a really good spring, and then came back in the bubble, and we didn't play very well. He didn't have a great start in game one, and then boom, we were out. So he was a very motivated guy, but he is, I've said this many times, he's one of the best pure athletes I've ever coached. And I've known him. I had him as a rookie in Dallas, and then we had him for all those years in Arizona. But he's a motivated guy. He's 39 years old, but his fitness levels and just what he does to keep care of himself is off the charts. So he was a very motivated guy. He's always really fit. And you know what? He's come in. I think he's really played well, but he really wants to help this organization, the players in this organization, become better. Like, he's a great leader. The guys thrive off him in the dressing room, and he's really competitive. Like, he's stepped into our leadership group and been a really strong person in there, and he's backed it up with his play. So there's more to it than just the goaltending with him. Like, he's been excellent in goal, but he adds a presence to our team that our team has really kind of dug into and really adapted to.
We're chatting with the head coach of the Oilers, Dave Tippett. You guys have two more games left, and you were asked this question. I'm sure you've been asked a ton of this by the local media in terms of what your game plan is going to be for the lineup, because you guys have punched your ticket. You know where you're going. You know where you're going to finish for the most part. And last week you said, you know, you're going to play it out. You're going to give a guy's opportunity to play, and you believe in that mantra. Can you take us through that logic and why you feel it's in your best interest and the player's best interest to finish out the season and keep playing, as opposed to maybe pulling some guys from the lineup here over the final two games?
Well, first and foremost, the players want to play, right? They don't want to sit out. They want to play. Now, you can manage their minutes, manage their situations, and we've done some of that, as you know, the last week or so. So we do manage some of that. But like if you ask Connor right now or ask Leon right now, they want to keep playing. Both of those guys have played every game this year. They don't want to miss games. They want to play. And so we've kind of managed things. We, you know, anybody with some bumps and bruises or like Schmitty ended up playing two games, you know, Thursday and Saturday when Mikko had a tough night. So Schmitty ended up playing 50 minutes of that night and then played the next night. So we gave him the full day off yesterday in the game and backed up Stalock. So we'll manage some people like that. But for the most part, our players want to keep playing. And they understand that we have to get prepared, and the just taking people out for the sake of resting them, they become restless instead of rested, and would like to keep playing.
How do you think things shake out here in the North Division playoffs, Tip? I mean, you guys have McDavid and Draisaitl. You've had a successful year. You're into the playoffs. What are kind of the other teams in the division? What kind of problems do they pose, and how do you think you're going to have success other than obviously McDavid and Draisaitl being on a tear?
Yeah, we've really worked on our game here. You know, the biggest thing for us coming into the season, our goals against had to go down. And to do that, there's a couple things. One, we had to be a better 5-on-5 team. And I think we've accomplished that. Our leadership group has really dug into, we're trying to play a playoff style, even though we have, you know, unbelievable talent. You've got to be able to defend to win in the playoffs. So we've had that mindset all year long. We've dropped our goals against down. Our 5-on-5 play is better. I think we've got better depth this year. Now, that being said, it's, you know, every team that's in the playoffs on the side, you know, they're good teams. Like, you're not getting any, you know, easy series here. Whoever we end up with, Winnipeg or Montreal, is going to be a tough series. And then you got to have the winner of Toronto and the other team. So we know the Canadian division has been really good. It has top players. And, you know, you have good teams that play hard. And it's going to be hard to win. So we feel like we've put ourselves in one of those positions. So we might as well give it a try just like everybody else is, you know. But it's going to be hard. But I think our guys have embraced that hard.
I'm always fascinated with the way, you know, coaches think and how they approach a game plan going into the playoffs with the uniqueness of this season in particular, where there's really two schools of thought. You can look at it and say, okay, we've played these guys 8 times, 9 times, 10 times. I have all this information. I know what works. I know what doesn't. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is they know everything about us. Like, they have all the game plan on us. They know what makes us tick. How do you balance those two schools of thought when you start to game plan for a playoff series?
Well, it's a fine balance. One, I believe your team has a way they want to play, and with the way scouting and video it is, I mean, there's not a lot of secrets that way. So you have to make sure what you do very well, and you do it consistently well. Now, that being said, there's certain, you know, your opponent, there's matchups, there's tweaks you make on special teams, on face-offs, on how you play against certain players, or all those things that come into play that, you know, you might make an adjustment that you looked at in the season, and all of a sudden, you know, that didn't work when we tried it. Let's try something different. So that's the fun of the playoffs. But that being said, we've had like little mini playoff series all year long when you play. We just played Vancouver 4 times. So it's like you had little mini playoff series all the way along.
Tip, you know, coming into the season, you'd lose Klefbom. So a lot of people thought, holy smokes, your back end, it's going to be, you know, a massive hole. Guy who quarterbacks the power plays, you got a big shot, eats up a lot of minutes. And then Darnell Nurse just elevates his play. And Tyson Barrie signs on a one-year deal. Didn't have the greatest season here in Toronto, but has been a fit, especially on the power play. Maybe talk about that top pairing and how well they played for you.
Well, first and foremost, Darnell is I have a ton of respect for Darnell because he's not just a good player, real good person, real good leader, and he's an example for our younger players. He's come through and turned himself into a top NHL player, and by putting the work in, he's a strong student of the game. Physically, he's fit as anybody, but he came in with the mindset that he had to help our team get by the Klefbom injury, and you know, we didn't ask him to take the whole thing by himself, but he knew he had to take up some of it. And he's come in and really, really played well, like just been a top player for us. And then we added added Barry, and it took a few weeks to get Barry up and going with no real sustained training camp and no exhibition games. But once we put Nurse and Barry together, they kind of clicked, and they play a lot with McDavid. And they've been a solid pair. Barry obviously brings an offensive element that you know, our team didn't have, and has really helped out that way, helped out that power play. And I think we're back up to number one in the league this year again on the power play. So Barry's had a strong year, but I give Darnell Nurse a lot of credit because he's shouldered a lot of the weight that Klefbom had. He's come in and really taken that and excelled with it.
Well, best of luck tomorrow and the season finale over the weekend. We can't wait to see how it all plays out come playoff time. Good luck there as well, and always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you for doing this.
I appreciate it, guys. It's going to be an exciting playoff, that's for sure. The only thing we're missing is fans.
That's right. Yep, sooner than later, hopefully. Sooner than later,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good luck.
All right, guys.
Thanks,
Take
Dave.
Care.
Thanks,
Thank you.
There he is, Dave Tippett, the head coach of the Oilers.
Could you tell that he used to have a mustache?
Oh, deepest voice in the National Hockey League.
He's a great
stash.
Man. And but I mean, that's the Hartford clan, right? Like it
that's
was
right.
Q, it was Ray, it was Babich. I think did Beast have one back? Did you remember? Oh,
no. Randy Lattisor had a nice cookie duster.
Like that was the all mustache team.
Oh yeah. My God, they had mustaches for sale on that team. It was outrageous.
And if you look at it, there were some pretty – I think Kevin Dineen was on that team. Like, there's
yeah,
some pretty
I don't
good
think he ever went to the stash.
No, but, yeah, we could probably go back to, I don't know, 87, 88, the Hartford Whalers, and I'll bet you can run off. I don't know if Ron Francis ever grew out of stash.
No.
But, yeah, Ferraro's in there. He had one. Babbage definitely had one. John Anderson.
Johnny Anderson, the fire red stash.
Yeah. I played against him in the minors. When I was first turned pro, John Anderson was skating around out there. I'm like, I remember that guy from 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, there's Randy. There's Joel Quenneville. He definitely had one. Tiger Williams was on that team for 26 games.
Really?
Yeah, he was at the end of his run. But I'll bet you I could just name random guys that we probably don't even remember, and I guarantee you they had a stash
for sure.
So old school team. But that's always great to of him to take some time to join us. Yeah. We appreciate it, Dave Tippett. They've got an afternoon game, I guess one of those 5 o'clock games tomorrow, and then an afternoon game on Saturday, too, I believe, to wrap up the regular season. It's go time. Right, they know what they're doing. They know they're going to have home ice. They're going to finish in second, and that's that. So they got to figure out who they're going to play.
Is it if Winnipeg beats Vancouver tonight, then it's set, correct?
Yes, I believe they're in third.
Yeah, they'll be in third, and then the Leafs play Then we know the Leafs play Montreal. So this time tomorrow, there's a chance we'll know the matchups. Correct?
Yep, absolutely. That's what it you know, kind of feels like where it's going. Like Winnipeg has two games, so they got a game in hand in Montreal. And, yeah, if they win tonight, they'll be three up. Montreal's got one game left.
Yeah.
So Winnipeg can clinch third in the division. Edmonton-Winnipeg would be a great series. I mean, you can't go wrong with any of these combinations.
I agree.
Like you can just – you list off any of them. You're like, yep, that'll work. That's good. I'm looking forward to that one.
I agree. I just think even, you know, regardless if like – the Leafs rinse Montreal or, you know, like I still think it's just great for like the interprovinces, like the battles. Like,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, not battle of Ontario, obviously, but like, you know, Montreal, like the history between Montreal and Toronto, you know, Winnipeg, Edmonton, there's history.
Long
like late
history,
70s,
back to the
long,
80s.
Yeah, Howard Chuck Gretzky, right?
Like, I said it at the beginning of the show, and I don't want to be a downer on it again. It's so great. You talk about the historic matchups and how great it is for Canada or Canadian hockey fans, and then you get to the one point about it at the end.
Yeah, no fans.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, we're probably like, yeah, great comment, Jeff, but we actually can't go, so we hate it. It sucks.
The only
Tip said it too.
Yeah, Tippett. They all know it. I mean, they all like. Listen, we had Peter DeBoer on a couple hours ago. They're looking at a new lease on life. Like they've all been. vaccinated, you know, and they're going to have the freedom to go for dinners, have real meetings, you know, all that kind of stuff. The testing, like, there's going to be teams down in the States that are going to be living a different lifestyle and doing different things.
It almost doesn't seem fair. I know they make a lot of money, Hayes. It almost doesn't seem fair. You're all in the same league, and it's just – but it just sucks, man. It sucks.
That's the reality of the two borders and two different situations. We're dealing with two different worlds. You know, it's pretty wild, but it's the truth. And what I hope for, and this is another one of those, hey, we're a month away. I hope you get to a point. Let's say it's the Leafs, using them as the local example. You get to a conference final. At least you've got patios open or something. You know, let people congregate outdoors and fire some parties up. You know, do something, hopefully, a month from now, a month and a half from now. I'm not going to call my shot. I have no idea what's going to happen. But
how about the game on a drive-in theater? You go and sit in the back of your car, you know, the big screen.
I'd take anything.
I'd take anything, but I want a patio bar big screen.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's,
you're not getting that.
You can't even tee it up.
Come on.
Well, you know what? Like, the Leafs aren't. You know, whoever's coming out of Canada, let's say it's the Leafs, then they'll be in the States playing.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
what it's and likely going to happen, yeah.
And probably have their on their way to getting their second shot, right? Because they got vaccinated, I believe that was announced the other day, right?
Some of them aren't. I think it's like 30 and old. I don't know exactly what happened with the Leafs. Like, they're in a hot zone technically. You know, like,
right.
They are. I know, but that's the truth. They're where their practice rink is anyway. I believe that was reported. So technically they should be allowed to get it. But you're going to get one shot. The complication is the second shot, by all accounts, that can knock you out. You know, what if you're in between games and you go for your second shot and then all of a sudden you get feverish, chills, you're like, I can't play. I feel like
not
garbage.
Feeling well. Yeah.
You know, that's the irony of the whole thing is that
Gary Bettman to hand out the Stanley Cup. My work will be done for this year and I'm in a Winnebago with the wife and the cats and we're going to Arizona.
Oh, really? You're calling your shot.
That's a long drive.
Why Arizona?
I don't know. We're just going somewhere that you can live normally.
I've had enough. I think a lot of Canadians are starting to do that. I think no one's going to be loud about it, but people are like, I'll see you in about a month.
Yeah. No. I'll see you when I can tee it up, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, and that's not even the most important thing. You can't even buy a
that's the
dish
crazy
towel.
Thing is, today I needed to buy some tape.
Dude.
And I had a legitimate conversation with my wife. I'm like, I don't know if I can go buy tape.
Dude,
like, is that essential or not? I don't even know. I don't know if I can.
What kind of tape?
I told Ray this
like masking
the other day.
Tape.
I told Ray this the other day. My cats wrecked our shower mat in Collingwood. I smuggled a shower mat to the checkout, the self-checkout at Walmart in Collingwood like I was Jason Bourne. I was looking around. I was looking around. Are they seeing me? Did they see me pull it off? Are they going to pull me over to my car? I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous. You can go in, but you can buy bananas, but you can't buy a mat, a towel mat.
What's ridiculous is you allowed your animals to ruin things in your house. That would have been
joke.
The end for me.
Yeah. So. The Winnebago's firing up.
Yeah, I like it. Winnebago. Yes, I'm on board with that. All right, we're going to try to sneak in a little confirm or deny after dark before we wrap things up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
I can't confirm or deny.
Confirm or deny after dark. Time for one more horny.
Horny confirm or deny.
All right, well, actually, maybe two. Here we go. Confirm or deny after dark. Rory McIlroy will finish top five or better at the PGA Championship next week. Top five. Not winning.
Come on, dude. You've got to put some thought into this. He's winning that tournament. And I also have a follow-up comment on that. He's my guy.
Nah.
Oh,
he is my guy.
I'm confirming.
And
I just
have to rewind it once again. I cannot have, like, you pencil with me being down $100.
Oh, we figured this out. Al's brother confirmed.
All the work that me and Al's brother put into getting on top and having a good football season is apparently all gone, and we got to start from scratch again.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah, like,
I'll
deal with it.
You haven't won a bet in a long time.
I'll deal with it. I'm down $100.
Okay.
But it's just funny. It's just funny how me and Al's brother – I think, Max, we were up like 600 because we
were at one point. Yep.
We never saw one cent of it. So I understand your plan now is we all work from home. And it's also funny how golf season maybe is around the corner and I'll actually have to put eyes on you and I'll have to hand it over.
Right. That's not my fault.
You don't hand anything
over. That's not my
fault.
I'm not going to drive to Collingwood to hand you some money that I know I'm going to win back in a week.
Confirm and you're a fraud.
Okay. I confirm it, too. I think McIlroy finishes top five.
I'll confirm.
Quick one. Confirm or deny on the way out. Ben Affleck officially weasels his way back into a relationship with J-Lo.
Yeah.
Confirming he already
that.
Is.
Yeah, I think
he's
so,
having
too.
A nice time in Montana. Yeah. Big sky.
I think he is, too. Confirm. He's been chipping away. Ooh. Since February. He's been working on the lawnmower, just a John Deere around A-Rod's property. A-Rod is on the outs. And Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck, Bennifer, appear to be, an item again. So,
wow. That's
what
crazy.
Are you going to do? It happens, yep. Man. It happens. Okay, there you go. Good stuff, boys. Raptors in action tonight. Blue Jays in action tonight. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at?
You're still a fraud. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.